Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
No, don't turn off my mic. I know what I'm doing, okay? I know what I'm doing. I've done this show for... Hey, Dad, don't turn off the fucking mic! The one thing they don't want to hear is silence! No, you shut the fuck up, Dad! Bad enough that you bring the stubbornness into my life and the mom's life. Don't bring it into everybody else's life.
It's woke news on the Johnny B. Show.
Yeah, what do we got for Will?
Well, first of all, did you watch the Emmys last night? Did you know the Emmys were happening?
I did know, and I was going to click on when the Bone app gave me a notification of the winners. I was going to click on that, you know, to support, you know, my radio station and give it some clicks. And I just caught up doing a lot of stuff today, you know, and I never got to it, but I would love to be shocked and awed right here with you live and hear it for the first time.
Well, I feel like we make this announcement every year, but unsurprisingly, the 2022 Emmys were the least watched Emmys of all time.
We talk about this with all of them, the Oscars,
right.
The MTV
Awards.
It goes
down every year.
Nobody cares, dude. Nobody cares unless somebody's slapping somebody. It's a clown show. It's ridiculous. And now they're so riddled with political jargon and BS.
Yeah.
People are just like, ugh, I don't want to see that.
I didn't see any of it at all.
No.
And it wasn't because I intentionally avoided it or anything. I just, you know, I was here.
Yeah.
And then I went home.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to bed.
Sure.
So I didn't get to see any of it.
No, I was binging Cobra Kai last night.
It's not my, it's not my bag, really. I don't really care about this stuff anyway.
I don't mind seeing later who won.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to roll my eyes and shrug at a lot of them because it's like shows that nobody watches.
I did see from Twitter, though, that it was a little political, a little
wokey. It's always, dude.
Yeah.
It's so wokey and political.
Well, it's down 19% from last year's ratings, the first time they ever had less than 6 million viewers, just 5.92 million people watch it, which is a lot.
I mean, it was up against Monday Night Football.
That's true.
By the way, that's actually what I watched when I got home. It was like 10 minutes left in the game, and it was Russell Wilson playing in Seattle against his old team. Good scheduling right there. It was pretty good. And I watched the worst coaching decision by a rookie coach I've ever seen in my life at the end of that game. The Russell Wilson was driving them back. They needed 2 points to win the game. And this guy decided to run the clock on 4th and 5, run the clock all the way down and go for a 64-yard field goal instead of trying to get the first down and get closer with a minute left to go.
That's bad.
Bad coaching.
I'm just saying,
you pay Russell Wilson $160 million.
Yeah.
He's the best player on your team.
Right.
And you go, nah, I don't want the game to be in his hands. I'd rather have the kicker try to make the second longest field goal in NFL history instead. Anyway, I digress. Back to you and the Emmys.
Well, apparently one of the biggest things that happened at the Emmys, aside from its low ratings, was Jimmy Kimmel. Are you familiar with this man?
It makes me sad, Will. It makes me sad what he's turned into. I used to love Jimmy Kimmel. He used to be funny. He used to not pick sides politically. He picked on everybody. He was edgy. He did all kinds of unique and kind of innovative things, you know, with the Man Show. And even the Jimmy Kimmel Show of several years ago was decent, you know. And just over the last 2 or 3 years, it is nauseating how everything is political. I mean, everything. I get it. You don't like Republicans. It's fine. I don't want to turn that on. Just like I don't want to watch Republicans crap on Democrats. I don't want to see it. It's annoying, dude. It's annoying. Late night TV used to be comedy and entertainment. And now it's just caca, dude. It's one side or the other.
Well, that's why, you know, the, what's his name on Fox News? Guilford.
Yeah.
Guilfoyle. No, yeah, yeah, that's not her.
I know what you're talking about. He's got the most ratings at night.
Jim Thompson.
I don't know. I don't watch those guys. I know who you're talking about.
Guy Fieri, no.
Look, it's as right-winger as we've been made out to be, we should know these people.
Fox Late Night Show.
I don't know.
Gutfeld.
Thank you. Yes, that is him.
Jimmy Gutfeld. That's him.
I've never watched the show one time.
I haven't either, but he's number one in rankings in the ratings, but that's only because...
His side.
That's it. That's the only thing like the old boomers can watch because they're not going to watch Jimmy Kimmel and get he calls them Nazis and stuff.
Exactly.
So they'll just go watch this guy.
So 7 million people that voted for Trump?
Yeah, they got
all being called Nazis, so they're not going to watch it.
Well, and they're just getting sectioned off. And then all the people who are, you know, on the other team, they have like 7 options.
Yeah. So
all their ratings get divvied up.
That is true, because all of the late night shows are swing left.
Right.
Yeah, 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 I gotcha. Right. But they're not as bad as Kimmel. Like, I can watch a little bit of Jimmy Fallon. You know what I mean?
He sucks.
That's the problem. Too. And I like
he's probably the best of the lot.
He's a likable guy.
He is.
Yeah.
But he played with Trump's hair in 2016 and they blamed him. I saw an interview with him. It was like in GQ or something, and he was like, take pictures with him on a rooftop building, and he was like sad, and he felt partially to blame for Trump winning the presidency in 2016. This is the penance that you have to do.
I
get it. Like, he has to do this.
It's the Hollywood machine, dude.
It's the machine. It's the system. He's in it.
Yeah.
He's making so much money. Like, I know. Frankly, I would probably do the same thing.
I see a lot of comedians that kind of roll that way because they want to play the game, I guess. It's like, do you really believe the things that you're saying? I mean, like...
Do you want to continue making $10 million a year? Yes.
I mean, okay, I can't. Well, look, if I was in his position, I might have to play the game, too, if I want to make that money.
$10 million a year?
Yeah, dude.
At least for...
Give me $10 million a year. I'll put out a bunch of clown fart tweets, too. Oh, Orange Man's at it again. Look, I'll do it for $100,000. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can be bought. So I get it.
Yeah, I get it, too. I mean, I'd probably be doing the same thing, but it's gross.
Yeah.
And you know, Kimmel, too, I really enjoyed him when he was, you know, the man show with Adam Carolla. I grew up watching that. I think Jimmy Kimmel was on the air in Tampa, right? As a radio guy? Isn't that true?
I don't remember that. Maybe syndicated or something. I don't know.
I think he had some sort of connection to Tampa, what I remember.
Maybe.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm making that up. Now, he's had moments where he's in blackface, Carl Malone.
A couple times.
Which was a really funny skit. I'm sorry.
But, you know, back then, it wasn't...
Wasn't the same.
It wasn't frowned upon back then like it is now.
I think it kind of was.
Not really.
Meh.
I've been in Halloween parties where several people are in blackface, but you're playing a character.
All right, fair enough.
And people aren't offended.
Okay. I mean, this was the 2000s. You know, I think it was just post 9/11.
It's not like, the old minstrel shows with, you know, the white around the lips and the eyes and all that. It's like he was Charles Barkley.
Carl Malone. I'm Carl Malone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway. He's obviously got some skeletons in his closet. He's managed to get through these things and still advocates for what he's advocating for. Now he's a changed man. Mm-hmm. And he got accused last night for overshadowing Abbott Elementary, which I have no idea what that is. I guess it's a TV show. Have you heard of it?
It came up in another one of our woke news stories, I think.
Quinta Brunson is a creator of this show. Was decidedly, I guess they had like some sort of sketch or something, footage of the stunt going viral, ripped the funny man for allegedly ruining her big moment.
Oh, no.
For the uninitiated, the inflammatory interlude occurred after presenter Will Arnett dragged the 54-year-old Jimmy Kimmel Live host by his feet onto the stage as part of a skit announcing the winner for Best Writing in a Comedy Series at the 73rd Primetime Emmy Awards in Los Angeles. Jimmy couldn't be here tonight, Arnett 52 joked, while addressing his passed-out co-host laying on the floor. He added that Jimmy had gotten into the skinny margaritas after losing the Emmy for his late night series for a 13th time in a row. And I guess he did this skit during her acceptance speech. And she's black, a black lady.
Uh-huh.
And it was considered, you know, poor taste at this point.
I'm offended as a person that could have consumed that horrible physical comedy sketch that sounds like it wasn't funny at all. Let me drag you on stage. He's had some margaritas, everybody. We're wacky.
Okay, so let me clarify here because I didn't watch it. So I'm learning about this with you.
I'm visualizing it.
So I guess this happened just before, and then...
It wasn't while she was talking or anything?
No, and then Kimmel remained on his back in front of the microphone for the duration of her speech after Arnett had presented her with the award.
I can't blame her for being upset there. Yeah, you want to like talk about your award. You got this jack off laying down in front of the microphone.
I guess she said, "Jimmy, wake up! I won," but he just kind of stayed put and stuck with the bit of being passed out.
I don't like that. Like I wouldn't be outraged if I was her, but I'd be irritated for sure. Like, this is her moment. She won an award. She won an Emmy. Hey, asshole, get off the stage. Let people pay attention to me and not you fake being drunk, dickhead. You know what I mean? So I feel her on that. I feel her.
I think it would be disrespectful, or at least be seen. You could definitely view it as disrespectful, depending on how you're looking at it, of whatever sex or gender or race somebody is. But specifically, he should have known better because it is a black woman that's up there. And you just can't do that right now in this climate.
I don't know about that. I think anybody.
What?
I don't think this situation plays into that. I think anybody.
No, that's what this whole story is about.
Is that what she said?
Well, I don't. Let's find out together.
All right.
I should have probably read this.
Because
before,
the way I see it, it would be like me headlining a comedy show.
Uh-huh.
And the feature act that's on before me does a joke where he falls down at the end of his set. That's it, guys. I'm out of here. Whoops. And he falls down. And instead of leaving, he just wanted to lay there while I'm doing my set. No, bitch, I'll kick you off the stage. Literally.
Well, so. I think this comes from him. A lot of it's the reaction online.
I think it's Twitter.
And it's people accusing him of white male privilege.
And it's probably white people doing it.
They hate white men. Well, no. I mean, let's see. Some. Definitely some, but
usually young white ladies that get offended and point out racism. That's how it works.
A lot of the replies are black people, and that's their take.
I gotcha.
You know, that this is, he intentionally did it to a black woman, and that's what this whole thing. He's not just, like, you can't just be an ass. You have to be, like, a racist ass.
You know what? Good. Let him feel some of that.
You know what? I feel the exact same way.
Let him feel some of it.
I saw Nick DiPaolo, another comedian, saying, "I can't believe I got to defend Jimmy Kimmel here." No, you don't. You don't, Nick.
Don't
let
Nick.
Him. Let him. This is the world that he wants.
Yes.
That he advocates for.
Yes.
So let him lie in it.
Yeah.
Let him be there.
I was done with Jimmy Kimmel when he, during his monologue last year, and his monologue's supposed to be comedy, right? He said something about hospitals being overrun because of COVID, and he goes, "Well, tell you what, how about all the people that haven't taken the vaccines that are causing the problem? You could just, if you're having a heart attack, you could just die in a parking lot." And the crowd, like, applauded it.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not a punchline.
That's wishing death.
Jesus, dude.
Your ideological enemy.
And now he looks like even more of an asshole a year later when the CDC's like, nah, they're just, you know. It's not, we weren't right.
But you know what? That bothers me about that, too. Nobody's eaten any crow.
Nobody.
Nobody's
no apologies.
Any consequence.
Mm-mm.
Nobody's, not even an apology.
Nah, man.
They've just moved on.
Yeah.
And in fact, even though that's out now, we'll still say stuff like that from time to time. Just throwing it out.
You can go back to, 75 years ago and a celebrity said something that's, now considered offensive and they could be canceled from their deathbed. But these people wishing death upon unvaccinated people a year ago, they don't have to apologize at all.
I don't want an apology.
Like, I don't either.
Like,
you just shut up forever?
I don't want to. This is why I advocate for, like, let's just go our own way peacefully, because I don't want to change your mind. I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to share a country with you either. Let's agree to, because it's pretty clear that we're watching the same movie and there's two different screens playing for people.
Kind of. Because
I know that there's people on the other side, you know, of this. Not that I'm on one side, but you know what I'm saying? Like, people who probably project that I'm on one side and that's how they feel. Mm-hmm. That go, I'm watching this movie and I'm getting all this information and this idiot is taking away totally different conclusions. So they feel the same way. And honestly, I don't even know who's right anymore.
Right.
Things are so confusing. Like, maybe how I feel is completely wrong. I'm open to that idea, but I don't think so, man. Like, I have eyeballs and I'm pretty inquisitive and I like to try to keep an open mind about stuff. But it just gets to a point where it's like, I don't know where to go from here with certain things because it's so over the top and so outlandish. I just don't know how we proceed in a society with each other.
Well, the problem is nobody can think as an individual anymore. They just, social media and everything else in the actual media has taken over so bad the way people think.
Yeah. It's a mob mentality.
And people want to be part of a team, you know.
Particularly online.
Yeah. So that's why Twitter is like that. That's why they call it the Twitter mob. And it kind of overflows everything else. And people they feel like, oh, my friends feel this way, so I should feel this way. And after a while, people don't have their own way of thinking. They don't have their own real opinions on anything. I had somebody at the Bind last week come up to me after the show, and they go, wow, you said midget like 4 times.
Mm. I knew that was going to be a problem.
Aren't you concerned? I said, not even a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no. No, I'm not. So, I go, whoa, you get canceled. Good. I'm not out attacking anybody physically. I'm not trying to.
Well, words are violence.
Then I'm a violent person if words are violence.
But you can't. Listen, you know that that's not true.
I know.
You know that words aren't violent.
I know.
But when you can't even say it like, okay, well, I guess I'm this thing then. Because there's a lot of that with, well, if you don't like this, then you are this. And you go, fine, I guess I'm this. But that makes that other person win that argument.
I just throw my hands up.
Because you admitted to it.
I just kind of shrug now and just like, all right, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to change your mind.
Yeah.
But I don't want to share a country with you. I don't want to live in the same area with you. And I want, like, it's not, I'm not saying, like, go live in a camp.
No.
Like, I want you to live the way you want to live.
Yeah, man.
If you want people to wear masks and get a million vaccines and use pronouns and ask what race you are today, like whatever kooky stuff in my mind is kooky, I want you to be able to do that.
Sure.
I have like compassion for you and I want you to live the way you want.
You also believe in freedom.
I believe in freedom
and
liberty. Those are my highest
Me too.
Morals.
Yeah.
You know, and an individual freedom, like do what you want to do, but please leave me alone. And that seems to be the difference, is like they won't leave you
alone. I'm the same way. It's like, dude, do whatever you want, be whatever you want. I love you for it. Like whatever you want, I don't care. You know, everybody has their likes and their dislikes, but do me a favor, shut the F up. Like leave me, like I'm the same way. Don't push crap on me. I was that before all of this woke stuff started and everything. I was that way about religion. Like, look, yeah. I respect you. If you're a Christian,
but
if you're Muslim.
Politics is religion now.
Right. Whatever you are, but do me a favor. Don't try to convert me. Don't try to get me to go to your church. I don't need an ad. I don't need you to knock on my door. I don't need to be saved. You know what I mean? Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Enjoy your life. And I respect your Christian community or whatever you're into, Buddhist, whatever. I don't hate you for it. I respect that you have that. And it makes you feel whole. But leave me alone.
Well, that's what, there is a saying that politics is two types of people. People who want to be left alone and people who will not leave them alone. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. But you know, you don't have to defend Jimmy Kimmel, Nick DiPaolo.
Let him feel it.
This is his tribe. This is what he's selected, so goodbye, Jimmy. Good luck to you, pal. 9/11, baby.
Yeah. I mean, no. What are you clapping about?
I don't know. I just felt like
never forget.
It was something to do. It was wrong, and I apologize for it right now.
Yeah, dude.
Well, I mean, 9/11 was the worst tragedy to happen to our country, probably in history. One of them in the modern era, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, not according to Democratic Senator Mark Warner, who was on Face the Nation over the weekend. And apparently 9/11 got knocked down to number 2 because there was another event that happened that was worse.
Oh, can I guess?
Go ahead. I know you'll get it.
Oh, man.
Another... So easy.
Was it something that happened 2 years ago?
It's around that time.
I don't want to say it out loud.
I know. I don't. It's banned. You can't say
that
word. I'm
not saying it. Not saying it. Not doing it.
Well, I have some audio from him if you'd like to hear it. If you could pop me up there.
Oh,
I appreciate that.
Sure, William. I gotcha.
And our country came together. In many ways, we defeated the terrorists because of the resilience of the American public, because of our intelligence community. And we are safer, better prepared. The stunning thing to me is here we are 20 years later, and the attack on the symbol of our democracy was not coming from terrorists, but it came from literally insurgents attacking the Capitol on January 6th. So I believe we are stronger. I believe our intelligence community has performed remarkably. I think the threat of terror has diminished. I think we still have new challenges in terms of nation, state challenges, Russia, and longer term, a technology competition with China. But I do worry about some of the activity in this country where the election deniers, the insurgency that took place on January 6th. That is something I hope we could see, that same kind of unity of spirit.
Does this guy have emphysema? He takes 19 breaths a second.
Well, I mean, maybe he was stumbling over his words.
Nervous?
I wonder if they even believe this stuff.
I mean, he's not the first one. I've heard.
I've heard a lot.
I've heard January 6th on national media being compared to 9/11 more than once.
I don't think, like, I think even the people who kind of mock this, because January 6th was bad.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. Okay. It was not good.
It was crazy what happened.
It was.
Watch it. I couldn't believe what I was watching. It should have never have happened.
It was pretty bad, yeah.
But to say that, you know, compare it to 9/11.
I compare it to all of the crap that went down in 2020 where cities were being burned down and everything. It was just chaos.
Yeah.
It was just mobs.
Courts were getting stormed. The Supreme Court was stormed by the lady in the pussy hat.
Yeah. I lumped that in with all of that stuff. It was bad. It was embarrassing. It was sad.
My opinion is that the January 6th folks were watching this on TV and saying, I guess this is if they're doing it.
This is what you do.
You know? Why not?
I mean, it does seem like the thing to do. You rage.
You rage.
Yeah.
You're angry.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing with, this denying the election results has always, always been a thing.
Yeah.
Since when I was a kid with Al Gore and the Chads and going to the Supreme Court and using, nobody concedes elections.
You know the White House press secretary.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sound like a right winger here, but this is a fact.
Yeah.
She tweeted in 2016
right,
that the election was stolen, that it was, that she did that. And now she's saying in 2022 or 2020, if you say that, you're a Nazi.
They always have subtle nuances that make it a different thing.
Or no, she didn't say Nazi. She said you're an extremist.
An extremist.
If you say that Trump was robbed. Right. But 4 years later, she was tweeting it about Hillary.
And I believe
it's crazy.
What she said was, and Stacey Abrams in Georgia, too. The governorship was stolen from her with a faulty election.
Right.
And I believe she said that, well, the difference is that I was in private. I was a private member of society.
You're the same person.
She worked for moveon.org.
But she's still the same person.
Which is a super. I get it. But that's what I'm saying. They always have little differences that can be, you know, be like, so that makes it a completely different
thing. I can say it now because I'm protected by the...
No one believes any election.
No.
I mean, come on.
Every election. I remember that you said the Hanging Chad one. I remember that one.
Yep.
You're right, though. Every 4 years, there's people that deny there's...
Barbara Boxer in 2004 would not... Or is it 2000? 2000, 2004... Anyway, she
2000 was a hanging Chad, I believe.
Was demanding the election not be certified. The same things that Ted Cruz and that other dickhead.
They all say it, no matter who wins.
This is just part of our system now. Do you remember all the celebrities on the commercial saying that do not certify the election in 2016? It was all the celebrities saying because of these, I don't know exactly how it works, but these electors get selected and then they go to a place and then they vote again to make this guy the president. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know how it
and
works.
It's whatever it's team you're on, you'll believe that team. It's
but
just,
they yeah. begged, like, the election, you have to stop the election. It's not your job. It's not reporters' jobs. It's not media's job. It's not celebrities' jobs. Like, if we believe in democracy, that's another thing. Nobody believes in democracy unless it favors their side.
Of course.
So it's not your job to protect us from what you believe is right.
Mm-hmm.
But they still do this. And the whole thing with this election denial stuff is nonsense. Nobody believes the election. Everybody believes it's stolen from them if they lose.
And they believe that it's legit when they win.
And it makes me paranoid a little bit because they're so intent on saying that it wasn't stolen that I'm like, I think it might be stolen. Because they push so hard on
right?
it. Like, it's over. Biden's been president for 2 years now.
Uh-huh.
We're coming up on a midterm now. Like, it's over.
The only person that doesn't know that he's president is him.
Right.
It's very sad.
It's just bizarre, man. So I have really good... Other 9/11 things that I found fascinating,
uh-huh.
but I know we're kind of up against the clock, so maybe I'll save them for tomorrow.
Sure.
They're not really wokey.
With Kelly?
Yeah.
That'll be
tomorrow
fun.
Night with Kelly.
Hell yeah.
Well, it's about people she doesn't like.
Oh,
so I
perfect.
Think she'll be okay with it.
I like it when we agree on stuff.
It's the Republicans that I'll be crapping on tomorrow.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And a certain thing that I found an article from like 2010 when I was researching this today. About a current, did you see it? Do you know what I'm alluding to? There's a certain thing that we like, we have a theme song about.
Uh-huh.
Okay? That a certain person who allegedly committed 9/11
uh-huh.
was also an advocate against.
Yeah.
So it's blew my mind when I saw it today. I guess we'll save it for tomorrow. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it tomorrow. That'll be fun.
I can't believe it's on the internet still.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.